Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Standings is still standing after all these years, and he's with us here on Friday at 12 noon, as he is every week. He'll join us Monday, too, game day, this coming weekend against the Bears. So the injury report, the first one out yesterday, or the second one, I guess. And I just want to ask you real quickly, like, are we essentially ruling Terry McLaurin out? Is that it? I mean, he didn't practice yesterday. I know he was out and about, but do you think this is going to be week three without him?
Well, I mean, you know, as we know, obviously guys can make, you know, he could not practice all week and still go. But when you tack on the two previous weeks where he had done very little, like at least to use Jaden Daniels as context, he was a Friday limited participant on the first week that he missed. Then the next week, there were, you know, two limited. So there was at least some sign of trend moving forward. Here, there's the trend's been pretty minimal. If we're saying that at best, it was him running up a small hill, not at full speed yesterday at practice. So it doesn't look great, but, you know, we'll see. We are not out there today. This is a weird week because of the Monday night, so we don't get it back out there until Saturday, but they will presumably put out an injury report today stating something. So he's not listed as at least limited, I would say. He'll be out another week.
So, you know, a lot of the questions about Jaden before last week were, you know, he's chopping at the bit. How are you, coach, able to keep him, you know, from, you know, doing too much, you know, and how are you handling those conversations with him, you know, that he wants to practice, et cetera? Is that the same situation with Terry?
Well, it's interesting.
I know the injuries are different.
Yeah. No, it's interesting that you phrase it like that. You know, in a broader context, you know, whether you're talking about your favorite sports team or politics or whatever, there's always this notion of, like, you know, bias in the media, and, you know, most of that, at least my world, is, you know, hokum. But it does factor into a degree with how you ask certain questions. And again, you know, in the case of Jaden Daniels, like, obviously it was like, you know, there was at least a feel that, like, hey, he, you know, he is itching to go, that, you know, that this injury is, you know, something, but it's, you know, what's going, you know, it's just a matter of, what is it, a pain tolerance? Like, we get the feeling he wants to go. Now, I'm not saying Terry doesn't want to go, but I'm just saying we honestly probably haven't really asked that type of question, because I think it's all a bit more of a mystery the way that it was all presented, you know, right off the bat with this. He's getting a second opinion. He doesn't need surgery. Wait, why are we even discussing surgery? We didn't know it was even that bad. And Dan Quinn, you know, in my view, feels a little bit more reluctant to answer some Terry questions than Jaden ones. Not that we ever really knew the exact nature of Jaden's knee injury, but yeah, I'm sure Terry is itching to go. I just don't know in the same way, because of the way things went down with his contract. You know, it leads to, what's going on here? And maybe, I don't know, maybe we just haven't asked that type of question yet for me to tell you definitively what I think. I mean, again, he wants to play, but I don't know what's going on here exactly with why. You know, is he actually close? Is he not close? Is there something else going on? That's the part I agree. I think it's fair to say we need to learn more.
Debo Samuel, is it the same thing as last week with the heel? He'll miss a few practices, but be good to go Monday night?
That is my impression. I mean, the fact that he spoke with the media yesterday suggests, you know, that, like, if it was something bigger, right, you know, he's probably not going to talk. They can all sort of fall under the guise of, you didn't practice, or you're hurt, so you don't have to talk to the media, and he did. So, yeah, I think he's good to go there. Obviously, that Washington is 3-2, having Jaden missed two games, Terry's now missed two, other guys have missed multiple games that, you know, and the offense has still largely been clicking is, I think, a huge testament to what Deebo Samuel has done. Not just him, of course, I mean, the run game and the offensive line, but, like, you know, as the primary playmaker, as evidenced by last week. I mean, Jaden, more than half of Jaden's completions went to Deebo. He had, you know, on the final drive to put the game away, three catches, including the touchdown, plus a 17-yard pass interference penalty. Yeah. And, you know, there, it's one thing to produce. It's another thing to sort of put your stamp on everything, and he's been doing that a lot, obviously.
Sam Cosmi was a full go in practice yesterday. When he is ready to return, and I want you to give me, you know, your best estimate on that, who does he replace?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, both of those are fascinating questions. I mean, you know, he will, of course, go back to right guard, which is where Andrew Wiley is right now. And, you know, look, I think Wiley is obviously a guy that is, you know, he's a proven vet who you know, played inside with the Chiefs at, you know, peak Kansas City. And, you know, I guess my nod would be a little bit towards him, but, you know, when you talk about chemistry on the offensive line, that's always a big deal. And Chris Paul is the one that's been there on the left side in between Laremy Tunsil and Tyler Biadasz. You know, if you both of them are free agents after the year, so you really can't play, though, what's the longer term angle? You know, Paul is younger. So I'm guessing Wiley, but if you tell me it's Paul just for the chemistry aspect, I'd be like, okay. I mean, I think he's played pretty well so far. As for Cosmi, I think today is a big day in that assessment. It was, they had a padded practice yesterday. I talked to Cosmi for a little bit before and after the practice, and he was, you know, look, we all just kind of, a guy gets hurt, we'd go, okay, he'll be back in 9 to 12 months, and he goes away, and we don't really think about it too much other than to say, how is the team going to replace him? But, you know, it is a complete and utter disaster for these guys to have to endure all they're doing, not just the rehab, not just the recovery, but, you know, they're often in, like, isolation, they're often away from their teammates and just different schedules and all these things. And then when you do get thrown out there, sure, he's done the various rehab drills and certain practical aspects, like, you know, hitting the tackling dummies and things like that. But, right, you know, he was saying that, like, you know, to your body, the nervous system is a massive difference when all of a sudden you're getting pushed and pulled and pulled in different directions. And so he wanted to see how he felt coming out of this padded practice. I think he was okay, but, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if they decide to be cautious and let him sit for one more week.
Talking to Ben Standig at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. Ben writes a Substack column. He's got a podcast. Both are called Last Man Standig. So before we look ahead to Monday, and we'll get your thoughts and we'll get your pick on Monday. You don't have to make it today. We're less than a month away from the trade deadline. Last year, they made a move. They went after, Marshawn Lattimore, traded for a corner because they felt like they needed something there. Didn't really produce for him last year. And the truth is, he hasn't produced in a major way this year either. Do you think they'll be looking to add something or maybe even sell something between now and November 4th?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you throw out caveat that they would say, hey, we're always looking to improve the team, whatever that means. So, you know, there's always that angle. In terms of the acquisition, like, we, you know, when we talked about this, or at least I've talked about this, you know, over the course of the season, you know, receivers seem to be the one who are like, hey, you know, they need to get some help. And honestly, I don't know that that's necessarily changed. I mean, Chris Moore, the last two games, has played 75 snaps and has zero receptions, right? I mean, Luke McCaffrey.
And dropped a touchdown.
Right, and dropped the touchdown. Luke McCaffrey was really good on that one catch last week, the 50-yarder, a great catch. Helped, you know, turn one of the plays that helped turn the game around. It was the only catch that he had. Jalen Lane, there's a lot of promise there. We see the speed, you know, he had the big 3rd-and-16 catch last week, but again, it's been relatively low production. But, you know, both those guys are up and coming, but they're young and inexperienced. So, you know, I think the Noah Brown part of this is obviously key, not just when he's back. Now, he has practice this week, so if you say, what do you think about him playing, I think the chances of him playing look pretty reasonable. I definitely am not going to say he will play based on his history, but at least he's been out there the last couple of days. And, you know, he seems like, from a demeanor perspective, somebody that's really focused on getting out there. But what about tomorrow? What about the next week? Is he making it through the season? Are you counting on that? And if not, then, you know, what do you do? Maybe that's like more of a lower level acquisition than it is like a Marshon Lattimore type. But that to me is the one position where I wonder what they think. I'm going to guess that they are feeling much better about it now, assuming that Terry and Noah Brown are, you know, back relatively soon. Other than that, I mean, look, I don't know. Is Brandon Coleman potential guy they move at the trade deadline, seeing as how he was a third round pick a year ago, has started out games in this league, but now, you know, when you just asked me who's going to who's Cosme replace, and didn't even discuss, well, what about Brandon Coleman? And I think it's reasonable to not do so based on where things stand. So could you move him? I mean, again, this team has six draft picks next year, but only two of them are, you know, in the top, I think, four rounds or so. So, you know, and because of the other trades they've made, they've got a lot of they don't have a lot of capital up high. And obviously, you always have to get that. They have a ton of free agents next year. And they're still, you know, still building a roster, relatively speaking. So if they can find ways to add more picks, I don't think that would be nuts, but it's hard to say they're going to do that when we constantly say, hey, their depth is still kind of wonky. So I feel less confident about them doing anything at the deadline than maybe I did a few weeks ago. But again, let's see where we are with Noah Brown and maybe some other spots by the deadline.
That was interesting, the Brandon Coleman idea. I didn't think about that. They're clearly very high on Chris Paul at this point with the way he's played, and I think justifiably so. And Cosme's coming back, and they've got versatility with Wiley, and Brandon Coleman started a lot of games as a rookie. And, you know, let's face it, you know, that's why you can't be too hyped after a year, and you can't be too down after a year when it comes to these draft choices, because I think a lot of people had Brandon Coleman before the Laremy Tunsil trade pegged in as the left tackle for years to come. I wonder what they could get for Brandon Coleman right now. And I'm not even suggesting it would be the right thing to do. And maybe there's still a great belief in Brandon Coleman. But I bet they can't get what they used to draft him.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's got to be a fourth or a fifth, best case.
Yeah, for sure. Going back to last offseason, I mean, you're right. I mean, having a general consensus, like, okay, well, here's the guy. I definitely wasn't of that mindset. I mean, that's why I was asking Peters and others at the combine, hey, is Brandon Coleman your left tackle? And then when the answer was like, oh, we like him, and then never said he was, I was like, okay. But then they didn't just move past him at left tackle. They then did the same at right tackle by taking Connerly, which just moved him inside. And, we all get too worked up over, like, how if a rookie doesn't look like an all-pro in the first month of his career, like, oh, boy, this is a bust, right?
Yeah, Adam Peters is a joke. And then the flip side is Adam Peters is cooking after three games.
Right. But in this case, to make – like, benching Allegretti as they did simultaneously, you know, look, Allegretti has been a viable guy, and if he is, you know, like, he was like a Wes Schweitzer-y type guy. He can start, but he comes off the bench.
Wes Schweitzer.
Well, he was like that five, you know, lineman 5.5 often for them, Allegretti kind of same. But to bench a guy you just drafted in
Ari
the
Quanjo,
round,
an Ari Quanjo type.
There you go. But, like, you know, with Coleman, to bench him after two games this year and replace him with a guy who, you know, give Chris Paul credit, he's improved. He's a guy that's kind of been hanging on, and now he's given this opportunity and he's taking advantage of it. But, you know, if you would tell me Chris Paul wasn't even going to make the roster back in OTAs, I'd be like, all right, well, it's conceivable, sure. And if you look again, Chris Paul's not under – his contract is over after this year, right? So, like, he – you know, it's not like he's like, oh, well, he's the guy for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can, I'm sure, re-sign him, but that's not a lock. Whereas, like, with Coleman, he's still on his rookie deal for 2 years past this. So it says something that they were, A, motivated to make that move, and that they haven't seemingly, you know, really kicked those tires about moving him back. So that's why, that's the only reason I'm saying, hey, maybe there's something there. Look, we saw, you know, I know they didn't draft Jahan Dotson, the Peters regime, but, you know, they moved on from him last year. You know, Brian Robinson, a little bit the same. So, you know, they've been willing to say, hey, there's a guy here that we is young and up and coming, and we could just sit here and justify and say, hey, there's been an investment made by this organization. Let's go forward. And yet they didn't. So, yeah, that's why I think it's at least something to consider.
Remember when Eric Flowers played really well and then all of a sudden kind of disappeared and his career ended?
Yeah.
He played really well that one season, and then it was like, well, wait a minute. Why aren't they bringing him back? And then nobody signed him. I think that's true.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I mean, I always find it funny. You know, look, it would be fun, as I think we would all probably agree, to be on the other side of all these discussions, to be in the front office, to be, you know, look at how the rest of the world is interpreting what's happening versus whatever their reality actually is. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's why we all get frustrated at times, certainly as a reporter does, when you try to get, hey, why this, why that? And then either, A, they don't tell you, or, you know, they say something that's just completely, I'm not saying this group, but just in general, they say something that's completely misleading, and you're just like, oh, come on. You know, like, we all endured the Curtis Samuel journey there, you know, with that injury. Like, hey, what are we doing here? So it's always fascinating to wonder what is actually happening. But, I mean, the reality is you can point to any, you know, Adam Schefter on down, and nobody often really ever knows.
That's true. All right, I'll ask you, finish up with a couple kind of looking forward. First of all, did last night change the way you feel about how gettable the division is?
Well, I mean, not just last night. You know, when the Eagles win a game the week before where they didn't complete a pass in the second half and won, like we talked a lot
Tampa,
about last
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we talked a lot about how Washington. And correctly so. There was a lot of things that went their way last year on top of their own good play. Well, I mean, it's one thing to win a game in the last play. It's another thing for that to happen and still win. I mean, they've been showing signs of vulnerability throughout. I mean, I know fantasy football players have not been happy necessarily with, like, A.J. Brown getting the ball in the passing game in general. Saquon Barkley was not a massive factor last night relative to, you know, his play. And, you know, we know that on defense they lost a bunch of guys in the offseason, which, you know, is what happens when you're you have a really good team and others want your free agents. And so, like, they were vulnerable. And then, look, there's always the, you know, you're going to get the best effort from the other team at all times. Like, I don't know, you know, we'll see where the Giants go. Obviously Jackson Dart's had a really fun start here to his rookie season, but yeah, the Eagles thing is definitely curious. But again, you know, I guess the thing with the Eagles is, if when the Chiefs are struggling, we all say the same thing. Cool. We'll see them in January, and everybody will be petrified when they're playing. I think we should probably feel the same about the Eagles, because it wasn't just they won last year. They've been a pretty successful team here now for a few years. But I don't know. It feels a little less – I'm a little less confident in that. But, yeah, I mean, it's – in terms of the division, it's gettable, but let's see Washington win two in a row before, you know, I go too crazy there.
All right, what are you thinking Monday night?
Well, I mean, it's obviously, you know, really, I mean, the amount of subplots are pretty significant. You know, the Hail Mary, obviously, the first and second pick from last year's draft, Ben Johnson rejecting Washington. Before they hired Dan Quinn, all those kinds of things.
Okay, let's make sure we're clear on this, because I know you know this. He didn't reject Washington. He didn't turn down an offer.
Well, I rejected them from the interview perspective.
You know, yeah, the interview. He rejected the interview when they were on their way, correct. But more likely than not, I don't think it was going to, in my opinion, because I had said from the beginning that how much they loved Quinn, I still don't think that even if they got to that interview stage, it was going to result in an offer necessarily. I mean, it could have. He could have blown them away with how hungry he was to be a head coach and had the, you know, the PowerPoint set up and ready to roll. But I guess the thing that just irks me a little bit, and you know this because we've talked about it, is the Quinn was the 7th, 8th, 9th, 11th choice crowd. I mean, they clearly had no clue what was going on during that search.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, without getting too in the weeds here, you know, Dan Quinn has seemed, it's been very clear the line of demarcation between where Adam Peters does and what Dan Quinn does. And Dan Quinn, when we ask certain questions or get to certain topics, he walks up to the line and then stops and says, go talk to that guy. I think Ben Johnson, you know, and look, he was the hotter candidate at the time, you know, as we saw when ultimately he did go take the Bears job. I think he wanted more, which, sure, I mean, why not? But I don't think he was getting that here. And I feel like with the Bears, he probably has more say in what's going on. And, you know, that may have, you know, from his perspective, that might be the end of it. From Washington's perspective, you know, I talked to somebody the other day, and, you know, for what these two teams needed, I mean, Dan Quinn was a much better fit than Ben Johnson. Not just this organization, this city needed a big, fat hug. And Dan Quinn is more of that guy. Ben Johnson is more of a, hey, I'm going to yell and scream and tell you how great I am. And maybe he is all that, but that's not what was needed here a year ago.
Yeah, and they sensed that right from the beginning after they talked to him on their first call, you know, that this was the right culture guy for sure. All right, I'm running out of time here, but just we'll get your pick on Monday night. But it's a matchup where, you know, you look ahead and it's like, you know, somebody said it last hour, a caller, this is kind of a game you kind of need to get, and so do they. It should be a good game, but I think you got to come away somehow with a win to get to 4-2 with what's ahead.
Well, and this is what I was saying last week, that last week was a perception versus a reality game, because we can keep sitting here and saying that this is a team that is, you know, still a contender off of what we saw and some of the improvements they've made, but you have to continue to move forward. So they do last week, but last week goes away if they fumble at home against the Bears. Look, the Bears have plenty of weapons on offense. Their offensive line revamped has done a pretty good job of keeping Caleb Williams healthy. Their defense still has some concerns. And, you know, again, if there's no Terry, you know, how do they, are they able to still move the ball? A story I put up today on the Substack is about how Debo's rise here, not only is it impressive, but it's a stark reminder of how terrible the number two receivers have been with Terry. We talked so much about the quarterback carousel that he endured. I laid it out. Go look at that. The receivers have been an utter disaster. So, you know, can Debo, if he's the one guy, can he keep this up by himself in the Superman role? Does he have to get real help from somebody else? You know, we'll see. But that this is a huge game. Even though,
look, if they lost him to injury, and he's been injured a lot in recent years, it would really hurt. Big time. He is, right now, you called it during camp. You know, you said he was by far and away having the best camp of anybody offensively. And we've seen it play out. He is on a record pace for receptions, touchdowns for his career. And he's had a couple of pretty good years. And they would be, as great as Jaden is, it would be a big hit losing him. Big hit. I got to roll. Thanks.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it, as always.
Ben Standing, everybody. I've got like 16 picks coming up next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.